Good morning, lovelies. And I say that for a couple reasons. One, because it's just so looking out at you. And the other, to underscore that when we engage in this practice, and especially in this way intensively, but even just in general over time in our lives, the lovely part of ourselves comes forward more. It comes out more. It just does. And you're sitting there going, lovely. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know what I've been seeing in this mind these last few days. It's not so lovely. Well, one main way we get lovely happens is by learning not to cast out those parts of ourselves that aren't so lovely, learning to actually embrace them, be with them with mindfulness, be with them with kindness, and then loveliness is happening. That's not what the talk's on this morning, though. Once again, some words on what we're going to meditate with, and some teachings around it, and then some standing, and then we'll finish the period sitting. And with the practice and the teachings this morning, we're really getting into, you could say, kind of the heart of what the Buddha taught. And what we're going to be practicing with, and this was alluded to last evening, we're going to be practicing with what's called feeling tone. The Pali word for that is vedana. And the feeling doesn't mean like, oh, I feel happy, I feel sad. It means like how something impacts us, whether it's a sight, a sound, a smell, a touch, a thought, or an emotion. There's a particular way that we get touched by it. It feels a certain way. And in the teachings, it's either felt as pleasant. So you put chocolate ice cream in your mouth, and the feeling tone, if you like chocolate, is pleasant. Let's say, though, for some reason, for some crazy reason, you don't like chocolate, and you really don't like it. Like, ugh. If you put chocolate ice cream in your mouth, the feeling tone would be unpleasant, right? Like, same for touch, same for smell, the mind, etc. And then the third one is, it could be neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And that's what Matthew was pointing to. We call it neutral. And there's a very important sutta in the Pali Canon called the Satipatthana Sutta, and it's called the four frames or the four foundations of mindfulness. And every experience that a human being can know is in one of those four foundations. So everything. So this is important. One of those four foundations the Buddha gave just to vedana, just to this particular aspect of experience. Of all experiences, he took a whole foundation and put vedana in that. So that should tell us how important it is. The reason it's important, and here we're really getting into what the Buddha woke up to when he woke up, what he saw, and what we can see if we just keep paying attention, is that when we get touched by pleasant experience in any of our what's called a sense door, the five physical ones, ear, eyes, nose, mouth, touch, and then the sixth one is the mind, so thoughts, emotions, mind states. When we get touched, it's called when there's contact, when we have contact with a pleasant experience, the deeply, deeply, and I could say that word 50 times and still not get to it, the deeply conditioned habit pattern for us is to want more of it, to hang on to it, to try to get more, to try to keep from losing it, that whole thing. Conversely, when we get touched and make contact with what's unpleasant, again, deeply to the 50th power, push it away. No, don't want. Get away from it. Keep it away. Find ways to keep it away. And when it's neutral, the habit pattern, and this is what Matthew was getting into last night, was not even to notice. That's how he was asking and saying, notice here. Usually we don't notice neutral because of, again, what he was saying, we're so kind of used to and conditioned for intensity, for highs and lows. And the neutral, we don't even notice. Our habit pattern with neutral is to not notice, to not be present with it. Now, this being contacted constantly, except when we're in dreamless sleep. Even when we're dreaming, the mind door is being contacted by sense impressions. We're always being contacted by sense impressions. There's no way to shut it off. We got born, and it's just coming. It's coming, and it's always moment, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So we can't control that. And we can't control whether it's going to be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. For the most part, right now we're controlling it, right? It's maybe 35 degrees out right now. If we were just sitting here in 35 degree temperatures, you know, it'd be more unpleasant, wouldn't it? It's like, ugh. So we're controlling pleasant, unpleasant. We do that a lot as humans. In fact, we do it a ton. Why? Because our whole way to try to be happy in this world, conditioned, unconscious, deeply habituated, is to maximize pleasant and minimize unpleasant. And it's fine. It's like, it's not like, oh, we're going to be good Buddhists and open up all the windows. So it's fine to be warm. But what's not fine, or just in terms of happiness, what's problematic is when we pin our hopes on that, our hopes for happiness on only knowing pleasant and not being contacted by any unpleasant. That's where things get gnarly. Why? Because we can't control it. Pinning our hopes for happiness on something we can't control makes no sense. It's stupid. But that's what we do. That's what we do. And so it's like, can there be another way? And of course, yes, there is. And where we can have effect, we can't control pleasant or unpleasant, but what we can control, or what we can start to learn and see, is our habit patterns associated with them contacting us, and maybe start to develop a little bit more equanimity rather than reactivity. The reactivity is want, push, push, push. So we practice with this. This is called investigation. This is now on the other side, on the energizing side of the enlightenment factors. Well, I hear a sound. Okay, mindfulness knows sound. Now investigation means we know something about what we're noticing. Is that sound pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Okay, investigation. Then what's my relationship to it? Can I see if it's pleasant or unpleasant? Can I see any reactivity that's happening? And of course, why we've talked about it so much, the great place to practice this is with pain in the body. Very unpleasant, very easy to see the habituated response to no, right? How do we feel it? We feel it in the mind. But also in the body, right? Have you noticed that? The body contracts and tenses against the experience. And then we relax. Okay, can I open to this? Can I be with this? Yes, for a second. Then, no. Yes. And if that's all you did for a whole sitting period, that would be great. This is one way we investigate experience in Vipassana practice, is by noticing the feeling tone. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. We're not trying to change it, by the way. Dharma practice isn't about change. Oh, if I can just change the unpleasant to pleasant. No, it's just how you're just going to either like chocolate ice cream or you're not. It's not going to change, and it doesn't need to change. What needs to change, or what would be good to change, is our unconscious habitual response, our reaction to pleasant and unpleasant. And this doesn't mean that we don't enjoy pleasant. We can't help it. We live in this realm where, it's constantly being, you walk outside, the sun's warm on your face, pleasant. You can't, let me keep the sun away so I don't feel that, and then I'll be a good Buddhist. No, we can't help it. It's just always going to be happening. So again, where our happiness lies is not outside of us. It's how we respond to the conditions of our lives. The unenlightened mind thinks the happiness is in the conditions, and if we could just rearrange them just right, then. But we learn that that's not the case, and that where we want to look for our happiness is right here. Right? See, so we're really right into the kind of the heart of what the Buddha taught about happiness and suffering. So this is not about not feeling pleasant. The Buddha even said, sense pleasures, meaning sense contact that's pleasant, is to be enjoyed. That's what he said. That's what you do with what's pleasant. You enjoy it. You don't pin your hopes on your heart and mind finding that which what it so deeply wants on it, though. You see the difference? Right now, we equate pleasant with that. But he's saying, no, pleasant is just pleasant. It's enjoyable, great, but what your heart deeply wants, the rest and the peace that is the only thing that it's going to rest until it finds, that is not that. It's not associated with pleasant. It's associated with letting go. So we can practice with it. It's a meditation instruction. Is what you're noticing right now pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And if you can't tell on the very first instant, let it go. Gee, now what's that? No, it's not. As all things are in this practice, it's not intellectual. It's experiential. And you don't need to, like, every second, was that pleasant, unpleasant? What about that sound? What was that? Oh, but my back. Just go with the big ones. Go with the big things that impacted you, the loud sound or the big body sensation or the mind state or emotion that's really got your attention. You know, don't try to do every little tiny thing. Just the kind of the big occurrences that are happening. And don't spend more than a second on noticing whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. If you can't tell, assume it's neutral. And you noticed it, so great. You're already doing well. Because mostly we don't notice what's neutral. Lastly, why? Why is it like this? Mostly the Buddha said, don't try to figure out why things are the way they are. Your head will explode. He said that. But just to say this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, in the Buddhist cosmology, there are different planes of existence, right? And we're on the human plane of existence. And in the cosmology, in the map, below us is the animal realm. And above us is the lowest of the deva realms, right? And so we're right in the middle. So there is, we are mammals, aren't we? Right? Our feet are on the ground, they're on the earth. We have an animal side to us. And this shying away from what's unpleasant and this wanting, going for pleasant, that actually serves our animal nature. We are a what's the word? I hate it when this happens. Sentient. We are a sentient life form. We are a species. This species wants to keep going. It's a strong drive. Hot stove. Ah, move away. Danger. A baby's born. Warmth, soft. As a species, this actually serves us. It serves our animal nature. It serves the species going on. That's the part of us that's connected to the animal realm. But there's a part of us that's connected to the deva realm. I mean, look what we are. We're human beings, aren't we? We're upright. Our feet are connected to the earth. Our heads, though, are pushing up towards heaven. What direction do we grow in? When it comes to moving towards the deva realms and moving towards unconditional happiness, this same quality that helped us in our animal cells does the opposite. It hinders. It keeps us from knowing unconditional happiness. So we're fighting a little bit with biology here, just to know that that's how deep it is. And it's not wrong or bad. It's just that we're mammals and we want to keep going. But if we want to know unconditional happiness, if we want our hearts and minds to be able to rest in lasting and uninterrupted peace, we have to learn to do it a different way. That's all. If we didn't want that kind of peace, if that wasn't built in, you have that. We all have it. It's built in. It's all we want, even whether we know it or not. If that wasn't like that, all this wouldn't matter. We wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be doing something else for these 3 or 4 days. But it is like that, and it does matter. So it matters a lot that we wake up to these habit patterns in our hearts and minds. Okay? All right. Let's come to standing. If you want, you know, so I know that. Come to standing. You know, what's helpful about practicing with standing and walking on retreat is that it's very portable. We do it a lot in our daily lives. And it's a great way to start to bring our mindfulness practice more to our daily lives. This checking, bringing attention to the feet, pointing forward, about hip width apart, and the attention to the contact with the earth. Feeling the support. Perhaps feeling like it's safe and okay to let go down into that because it's got you. And just kind of fine-tuning the attention at the bottom of the feet now to notice how the weight is distributed. Softening the ankles. What does that mean, softening the ankles? Just see. Unlocking the knees. It can almost be, once you kind of get the hang of this, it's almost one motion, unlocking the knees and letting the pelvis tuck under. Again, as though you were about to sit down in a chair behind you. Directing your attention now to your back. Literally bring it around to the back side of your body, so to speak. Feel your back. Can you feel your back? The back rising up from this stable platform. If it's helpful, you can imagine the two fingers
running up your spine and pushing forward slightly, lengthening the back upwards. Just bringing a sense of the attention to the four seams where the limbs meet the torso. Just either moving the body so that they feel open, or even just energetically kind of getting a sense that they're open. Head resting right on top of the spine so it's not leaning forward or back or side to side. Imagining the line running from the crown of the head down through the center of the body and out through the perineum, which is plumb to the earth, vertical, and the upper body coalesces around that. Staying connected to the feet, touching, connected to the earth. Staying connected to the sense of the back rising up. All the tissues in the upper body are draping downwards, like the silk shirt on the hanger. Letting go, learning to let go. Matthew talked last night about letting go. Little moments of letting go with the mind. Wonderful teacher named Ajahn Suchito says, learn to train the mind with the body. We learn to let the body go, to relax. We relax into contact with ourselves. As we relax the body, the attention is drawn to the body. We connect to it somatically. We connect to body standing, body breathing. How? By letting go. This is the exact same thing that Matthew was talking about last night, just on a physical level. Train the mind with the body. Learn to let go. But in order to let go, we need stability underneath us. So let's come to sitting and really bring some attention to the stability of your platform.
Bringing attention to the stability of the platform simply means being aware of it. Feel your sit bones. If you're in the chairs, feel the bottoms of your feet. If you're on the mat, feel your legs and your knees. And for everyone, feel the support from underneath. You can let go into that. It's got you. This is why another reason we relax when we wake up from the mind-made world. We let go into the present moment, literally with the body. Connecting with the present moment through body sitting and body breathing. Don't get too tight about practicing with Vedana. Do what you've been doing, the instructions we've been giving, noticing all sorts of things, thoughts, emotions, mind states, body sensations, sounds, all of how life is presenting it. And when it's a particularly kind of impactful one, it's just notice, pleasant, unpleasant, or somewhere in the middle, neutral. And once again, enjoying those moments of being present. Much of our experience is neutral. It's an acquired taste, but one definitely worth acquiring. The chitta, the heart mind, really likes to rest in the present moment. And we can start to feel it as home. Don't go looking for it, don't go gunning for it. Just when you happen to land there, perhaps just appreciate it. We have time for a couple comments or questions from anyone.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.